560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. But truthfully, you bring that joy back to us exponentially. I am Josh Harris, joined by a litany of Catholic rock stars up in this studio. And speaking of rock stars, I think Allison, who is a rock star, has a prayer. It's her pray day. So you ready to lift us up, Allison?
Oh, you betcha. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you as your children, seeking the light of your wisdom. In a world filled with noise and distraction, grant us the grace to hear your still, small voice. Help us to set aside our own plans and desires that we may be open to your perfect will. Guide our hearts and minds as we seek the path you have set before us. When we are uncertain, be our clarity. When we are afraid, be our courage. When we are weary, be our strength. Your word reminds us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:11. Help us to trust in this promise, even when the way is hidden from our sight. Send your Holy Spirit to inspire our thoughts, words, and actions. May we walk together in faith, listening for your voice and following where you lead. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who embraced your will with love and trust, we ask this in your name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen, amen. And, you know, we have some fun in here, Dave.
Well, we do. And I want to just say that for the listener, anybody listening who, you know, you hear a 30-second promo, it does take more than 30 seconds to put that together.
Yeah,
this is going to be fun.
And I think people should know this, too, that if for some reason Allison needs a side job or a side hustle, comedy clubs should hire her as a professional audience member, because she's kind of laugh happy. Let's just maybe put it that way. Right? But it's great. It's fantastic.
At times it is. Most of the time it is great.
Yeah.
Unless I need to say the weather and I can't get past the theme song.
So I'm debating, do we play the completed thing first and then how we got to it, or should we play that at the very end?
Oh, so you mean the backstory behind it is what you're talking about? Well, so do you want to? The backstory behind this is what were we cutting that day?
We were doing a promo. This was Monday. We were doing a promo for yesterday's show.
Okay. Yes, and I was having, you know, me being a good old gringo, I guess as they say, I was having some trouble pronouncing the name of one of the saints of the day, and you know, I guess. You know, it tickled Allison's funny bone a little bit. So is that?
Yeah. So why don't we go ahead and play this? And this is you getting to that part of the promo.
Yeah.
And this goes for about a minute. I'll just let it play.
Okay.
Oh, wait. You got to bring me up on the PC.
PC? Let's see. Like right here?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. And our buddy Chet Persner helps to get acquainted with St. Junipero.
I think it's Una.
Unipero.
I think. Do I
need to say the name?
Yeah.
Well, or should I just say the saint of the day?
We'll be getting acquainted with our saint of the day.
Oh, wow.
I seriously think that it's Juniper.
Hold on.
But maybe it's not. Oh my gosh.
All right, I got it.
What is it?
Junipero, okay. Sarah. And our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Junipero Serra.
And oh, gosh. How am I going to do that? Oh, my gosh.
Wait for it.
Don't even look at me, Josh. Oh, my goodness. Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. And Anastasia Northrup. Right?
Yeah.
And Anastasia Northrup. Oh my gosh.
Northrup.
Oh my gosh. And Anastasia Northrup joins us to share powerful insights on how single Catholics can grow closer to God and live out their vocation with purpose and joy.
Yeah. Good job, Allison.
So there was more to that. I edited that down to
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, it'd be a hostage situation if we did the whole thing. It did get a little more ridiculous, more laughs, but we'll just give you that bite-sized kernel for right now.
And so let's just say it took all that to make this 30-second promo. You probably heard this on the air Monday. Let's just play the 30-second promo
that we
ended up being. And you know everything that went into making this now.
The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison.
Father Silway, pastor of All Saints Dunwoody, is back and helping us dive deeper into our faith.
Father Scott Riley, the pastor at St. Brendan the Navigator, is going to be reflecting on the gospel.
And our buddy Chet Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Junipero Serra.
And Anastasia Northrup joins us to share powerful insights on how single Catholics can grow closer to God and live out their vocation with purpose and joy.
The Morning Quest.
That's tomorrow morning, 8 till 9.
AM 1160, The Quest.
So it does take more than 30 seconds to make
it
one.
It took
of those.
3 hours to do that.
Oh, it did take 3 hours. But
3 hours.
Man. It felt like it at times.
Yeah, and I mean, we had to have mops to wipe up all the laughter tears on the desk from Allison's chuckle fest. It was intense. Okay.
Oh my gosh! No, but seriously, it can be so frustrating when. I'm new to this, truly. This is not something that I've done in the past. So it's pretty amazing how much goes into it.
And what I think is funny too is you, I mean, that's a genuine laugh. I mean, you love to laugh. And at times, I mean, the show kind of gets derailed sometimes because you can't do a forecast or something because Josh is making you laugh. And
I know. No, so truly, it's definitely a joy to be here. I must say that. But when I start laughing, it's sometimes hard to stop.
So you do find joy in the journey.
I find joy in the journey.
Allison gets the most joy out of the journey, I would say, right. For this show, right?
I think
Allison is a host and audience member simultaneously.
All in one.
Yeah. Well, speaking of hosts and audience members, I know our... Oh,
just ahead on the Morning Quest.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Just ahead, we got our buddy Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, unpacking today's gospel. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Barbara. Thank you for that name, Chuck.
That's an easy one.
I can handle that
Amen.
One.
Amen.
Closing us out, Jane Robbins, co-host of Legislation Made Simple, heard here on AM 1160 The Quest, unpack some recent decisions that have that have the church cheering. Yeah, especially in the legal world. So stay tuned for that. Really, really important. But next, our buddy Jack Tyson, parishioner at St. Bridges in Johns Creek, spotlights a simple way to evangelize those who have left the church called Meet Me at Mass.
Mostly sunny today with a high near 90. It's 72 at 8:08.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
We are with Jack Tyson, parishioner at St. Bridget's in Johns Creek, and he is spotlighting a way that we can evangelize those who have left the church. It's a cool little trick he's called Meet Me at Mass. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Good morning, Questies.
I like that. Woo-hoo.
Questies, like besties.
I love that.
That is really, Jack,
you're a Questie. You're a Questie. He's a Questie.
And I've been sitting here listening to you guys for 10 minutes trying to laugh silently. Because I hadn't been introduced yet, and I'm saying I can't be that fourth voice yet. And that is hilarious.
Hilarious. Well, you're a blessing to us and the Catholic community because you're doing some really cool stuff.
No, you sure are. So, Jack, what led you to move from simply attending Sunday Mass to becoming an active part of your parish community? Because I know it wasn't something that was instantaneous.
No. And, I'm a cradle Catholic and 16 years of Catholic school, so I probably would have done well in the military. But I was kind of the once a week attender, and my wife went through RCIA, and so it was kind of this gradual process. But we were transferred down to Florida for a couple of years for work, and it was while we were down there that I kind of had my comeback confession, which I think probably a lot of people have those, and it was a great feeling and all that. And we were just driving back. We kept our house here when we were transferred because we weren't hoping to stay. And I just said to my wife, I go, well, I think I'm just going to get more involved at St. Bridget. It was nothing more than that.
Wow.
And so, you know, Knights of Columbus, Men of St. Bridget, outside greeter. Eventually, that's how it brought me to the Quest. I met the, you know, folks from the Quest and started volunteering here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just a really simple tap on the shoulder.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. And so you coined the phrase, meet me at Mass. By the way, it's just, I don't know, it sounds like a song or something that should be in the Jungle
Josh
Book.
Josh is
like,
going to make up a song
now.
Meet
me at Mass, yeah. But it's just, I don't know, it's sticky. It kind of just grabs you. What inspired those words and how did they become a movement?
Well, it was post-pandemic. And, you know, the big topic was how do we get people back in the pews, mm-hmm. right? Because people were, you know, kind of slow to do that. And there are a lot of rules and every other row and, you know, all the different things, right? You know, all these obstacles. And I was here during the day doing some volunteer gig. I forget what it was for. And I'm driving back and I'm talking to my fellow man of St. Bridget, Matt Curry, and he was at the parish council meeting the night before, and getting people back in the pews mm-hmm. was the big question. Mm. I said, well, how do we do that? You know, how do we help that? You know, once somebody comes across the threshold, it's up to the clergy, you know, but what can we do to get them back in the door? And Matt and I are talking, I'm literally just sitting in the garage, and I said, I got it. Meet me at Mass.
Oh, wow.
Meet me at Mass. You know, it's an open invitation. It's personal. There's no pressure. You know, why, you know, and this, remember, post-pandemic, you haven't seen a lot of your friends or family in mm-hmm. a while and all that kind of stuff. Why meet them at a coffee shop? Why meet them at your favorite fast food place? Just say, meet me at Mass.
Yeah.
And it's just totally an open invitation. I ran inside, fired off like a 3-page email to Carol and Steph here at the Quest saying, we've got to do something with this.
Oh,
so
wow.
They created a logo, you know, that I still use on my email. The Men of St. Bridget have created a logo as well. And next thing I know, I'm driving down the road and I start hearing some spots running. and the punchline is meet me at Mass. So I'm sitting there like on Roswell Road, high-fiving and, you know. And,
that's
and,
amazing.
And they didn't tell me they were doing it, but you know, the spots run to this day.
They Gosh, sure do.
So cool, man.
No, they absolutely do. So, Jack, what kind of reactions did you start getting when you use that invitation, both in person and online? Because I know you did both.
Yeah, and, you know, so, like I said, it's kind of casual, right? It's an open invitation. But I'm the outside greeter for the 7:30 Mass. So I usually get there at about 6:45. I walk around, try to, you know, I tell people I take the same 6 pictures and try to make them look different every week.
Yeah.
But inside, outside, and then I'll just do a quick little post on Facebook, and it'll be, hey, this is the seventh Sunday of Ordinary Time, or Palm Sunday, or whatever it happens to be, maybe something that relates to the scripture from that day, or it could just be an observation. Like last week, I was talking about a new parking area that's being built, and but the hashtag at the end then is meet me at Mass.
Wow!
And so now I'll have people tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm meeting you at Mass, or they'll reply to the Facebook post. And they'll say, I'll meet you at Mass later today. You know, that sort of
like
thing.
That.
And what you realize is more people see this stuff than you know.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's all very subtle, right? Like we haven't printed T-shirts or anything yet. You know, it's just kind of a grassroots thing.
That's amazing. And so for someone who wants to invite others back to church but feels unsure or unqualified, what advice would you give them? And what would you say to someone who says, I'm not holy enough or I'm not ready to invite others back to the church?
Well, you know, just think of my journey, right? I told you I was, you know, had my comeback confession and all of this. And I know the clergy wants us to evangelize. I mean, Jesus wants us to evangelize. Or I like to say, you know, they ask for time, talent, and treasure, mm-hmm. not time, treasure, and try to figure it out.
Correct.
You know?
Correct. Yeah.
So do what you can. But I was just talking to one of our fellow parishioners one night, and I essentially asked them, where do I start? You know, how do you do this? Mm-hmm. You know, and he said, well, you know, it's pretty obvious to anybody who knows you that you're a fan of the Green Bay Packers. And I go, that's right, absolutely. And he said, you know, that's because you talk about them, you're knowledgeable about them,
yes.
you kind of share your enthusiasm for them. He goes, it's the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different. So start with what's most familiar to you.
No, that's beautiful. And now, Jack, how can young adults, parents, or even teens carry the baton of this movement into their own circles?
Well, I would say that's actually the answer, not the question. It's stay within your own circle. Stay within your comfort zone. What's most familiar to you? What's most common to you? And it's not going to feel like you're putting yourself out there by any means. But it'll just start to seep out. You know, people see things that we do. They notice.
They're watching. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's incredible. And so what's one moment or story that you reminded you this invitation really matters?
Well, you know, it's funny. I tell people I've already had my big payday with this. You know, it's, you know, I think most people who volunteer know that when you volunteer, you get more than you give. You always walk away inspired and, you know, and all that, right? So so this was kind of at the very beginning. I don't even know they had coined the phrase yet, you know, meet me at Mass. But my wife and I were traveling back to Staten Island, New York for a milestone birthday. And I reached out to a bunch of buddies from, you know, grammar school, high school, college, and just said, hey, we're gonna meet for pizza at Lee's Tavern. It's going to be great. Hope to see you there and all that. But at 4 o'clock, we're going to go to Mass at St. Anne's, my parish growing up, you know? So we walk in and walk in a little early, and there's a rosary underway. And it's being led by a priest who I knew he wasn't the parish priest. I had just met the parish priest outside. And but he looked familiar. He looked like a guy I went to high school with, became a priest, became a Monsignor, became principal of our high school. So I've seen pictures of him as an adult, you know, and but I wasn't sure. So rosary's over, and then the 2 or 3 minutes in between before the Mass started, I just leaned over to the lady sitting next to me, and I said, excuse me, is that Monsignor Whalen? And she said, yes, it is. Are you John? I'm John Francis.
Yeah.
You know, and she said, are you John? I go, yes. She goes, well, I'm Mrs. Kangor, your third grade teacher.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And so that was the first, you know, big moment. And then we come, you know, come back from communion, and all of a sudden I see this steady stream of familiar faces coming back from communion. Turns out all our buddies were sitting about five rows behind us and so didn't even know they had gone to Mass. So we had, I don't know, maybe about 30 people go for pizza, and 20 or 25 of them came to Mass, including Mrs. Kangro. She came for pizza.
And it's beautiful, because if you didn't put that out there, they might not be there.
You never know.
You
never know. So you just put it out there. It's not like I'm keeping score. You know, it's just, but you get a payday like that, and it's just really cool. You know, pretty
cool. That's fantastic.
And then, Jack, one final question. We're coming, I'm close to the end of our time here. How do you handle rejection or silence when you invite someone and they don't respond or decline?
Well, for most of my career, I've been in sales, so I get rejected and ignored every day. You know, we like to say ignore is the new no, right? Mm-hmm. Or silence is the new no. But you don't have to look far to see people who persevere, you know. I mean, you know, I'm a fan of the country star Lainey Wilson, and I saw an interview with her where, you know, she went to Nashville at 19 years old and for 9 years couldn't get a record deal, couldn't get a producer, couldn't get anything. She's a kid, you know. Or more, I guess more relevant is if you know, if Jesus could be ignored by some of his own people, who am I to let my feelings get hurt? You know?
Absolutely. That's a great point.
Yeah. Wow. So I just say, you know, keep on the sunny side.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jack Tyson, for your amazing work in evangelization and all the great stuff you're doing, especially coining Meet Me at Mass. We are so grateful for you.
Thanks, everybody.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Our buddy Chet Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Barbara. Closing us out, Jane Robbins, co-host of Legislation Made Simple, here on The Quest, unpacks some big decisions that have the church cheering. But next, our buddy Father Adam Blatt from Christ Our King and Savior, pastor down there, is going to be unpacking today's gospel reading.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:22.
Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, is back, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. Continuing with Matthew. When Jesus came to the territory of the Gadarenes, the two demoniacs who were coming from the tombs met him. They were so savage that no one could travel by that road. They cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the appointed time?" Some distant away, a herd of many swine was feeding. The demons pleaded with him, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go then." They came out and entered the swine, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, where they drowned. The swine herds ran away. And when they came to the town, they reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. Thereupon, the whole town came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their district. Interesting.
Oh, yes.
Amen is what I mean, right?
Amen.
This would have been quite a sight to see, to bear witness to. And you would think that if this was you, you know, or you were there seeing this, that the proper response would be maybe a little bit of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
Maybe say thank you. But that is the exact opposite of how these people respond. Instead of saying thank you, they beg him to leave. Oh, my goodness, what have you done? Would you just get out of here? Why? Why in the world would they do that? Well, Jesus just freed two of their own from possession, so why aren't they happy? Now, some people think it's because the way he did it. You know, by destroying the herd, he's upset and disturbed the people's lives way too much for them to be able to handle it. You know, he's completely upset their entire livelihood. So why didn't Jesus just do it another way? I mean, he certainly could have done it however he wanted. Every demon he cast out in Scripture isn't done quite in this manner. I mean, he's the Son of God, right?
Yeah.
He probably could have just saved him in a way that didn't kill off the entire swine. He didn't have to acquiesce to the demon's request and say, "Oh, okay, yeah, you can go over there." Well, why does he do it like that? Well, in that very Christ-like fashion, things are not always what they seem.
Mm-hmm.
The message here that Jesus is trying to teach us isn't about demons. It's not about possession. It's not even about healing or things of that nature. Not this time. Today, Jesus is trying to teach us about truth, about answering God's call on our lives no matter what. You see, the truth is that Jesus is the Son of God. And the people might not have known that, but the demons did. And as the Son of God, it was his calling to save all people no matter what. And the last thing he would want is for people to learn about the Son of God from the demonic. That is not where you want your information. His entire life, his entire mission was rooted in God's call for him. And so that meant making a lot of tough decisions. And so while all the people were focused on earthly things, Jesus focused on the souls of these two men who needed help. So living a life of truth, answering that call of God in our lives, it's not always easy. And at times it can be very hard. It might at times force us to make very unpopular decisions, as Jesus does today, just like Jesus did. It might mean upsetting our own lives. Jesus always wants to come save your soul, but it might be sometimes at the cost of upsetting our life or our comforts so much. But when we answer that call, we live in that truth no matter what it might be. And when that happens, what happens? We're serving to build God's kingdom here on earth, to help to free not only ourselves, but everyone we encounter. And it's in that freeing spirit of Christ that we find a peace, a happiness that is unlike any other.
So the comparison between this gospel and just the lives of those that might say, "No, I don't need you, Lord. I don't want you to come here. I've got it under control. I'm okay."
You're absolutely right. You know, sometimes people, they don't want to seek out Christ. They don't want to go deeper because they're afraid of what he may ask of them. They're afraid that he might ruin their life, you know, as they have it now. But the reality is, that never happens. I met plenty of people who, on the front end, I'm afraid to let Jesus in. I'm afraid to go deeper because he might ruin my life. I've never met anybody on the other side of that who says, "I let Jesus in and he ruined my life." It's, "I let Jesus in and he saved my life."
Yes.
Yeah.
Freedom.
You know, whatever we think is about to be ruined or upset or destroyed, we think that that is a bad thing or a scary thing or a hard thing, only because we don't see the glory that awaits us on the other side. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, we would never give up anything that that Christ has changed within us to go back to whatever we had before.
Yeah.
Now, this is my wild conspiracy theory, but were the demons sent into the swine because Jesus wanted people to eat more chicken? Because we all know Chick-fil-A is Christian chicken.
That is God's chicken. That is right.
Oh, boy. But I've heard this, too. You know, the people getting angry or these swineherds getting angry because those pigs were worth a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole, you know, upset in their lives. I mean,
yeah,
this was a herd of swine. You got to think back then, this is not just a couple of someone's pet pigs, you know,
yeah.
if that's
yeah.
even a thing. But this is their food. This is their money. This is their income. This is how they support everything. This is what puts food on their table, what puts clothes on their back, what pays their taxes. To do it the way he did is a huge example of how he comes for massive change, you know, to upset what's within us, to show us the truth.
There is something about that radical surrender. If we give up something, we might lose some swine in our lives. Back in the day when I was starting out at comedy, and I had this comedy video, and there's a comedy song, actually, and it got quite popular. But as I grew in my spiritual walk, like, yeah, this doesn't represent me well.
Yeah.
And eventually that video came down. The exchange rate is so much more in my favor. I mean, there's you
right.
get peace, you get purpose, you get passion, and then as a result, like, again, I have created things that have been more popular and clean. But at the time, it is a mini death.
As much as that was a mini death.
Yeah.
Now look at the little mini resurrection you had afterwards.
Yes, that's just got to be our continued prayer. Like Mother Teresa said, take whatever you give and give whatever you take with a big smile. And by the way, when I've gotten to serve with the Missionaries of Charity, these women have very little. They have their convent, and then they take care of AIDS patients in the neighboring house, which the accommodations there are far nicer than their convent. And I mean, even if you leave some egg on the bowl when you're, you know, cooking for them, they make you scrape it all off because, you know, that you can't waste anything. In spite of this poverty infused lifestyle, there is such respect everybody has for them, right? Because you can tell God's grace is flowing and glowing through them. And I think mm-hmm. that's one of the many things we get back as a result of saying yes, embracing these mini resurrections that you talked about, Father. Is there's a palpable spirituality and a joy that, you know, is attractive.
Absolutely. And I love that imagery you used at the very beginning there. We talked about when you use the word swine, you know, it kind of made me think that just another layer to this gospel is that, you know, it is swine that they choose, and it's stereotypically what are pigs? They're dirty. They're
yeah.
They're in the dirt. I mean, they represent filth, gluttony, greed. I mean, in so many different ways, they come to represent so many different sins. I mean, that's probably a good takeaway right there. Let's be visceral with it. You know, we have swine in our heart, sin in our heart mm-hmm. at times. And so what are the ones that I'm holding on to that I'm afraid to push off that cliff, that I won't let Jesus cast out into the ocean, or I won't let Jesus cast out of me? And I think that's what we need to ask ourselves, and then to pray for that courage, that trust. You know, I've been recently doing the Litany of Trust a lot lately.
Oh, that's great.
You know, it's a whole other conversation, but if you're listening, Litany of Trust, Father
yeah.
approved.
Yeah, Father approved. Get
definitely
going to
do it. Phenomenal, phenomenal litany. But yeah, I think that's what we should do for our takeaways is, you know, what are the swine, what are the sins in my heart that I'm afraid to allow Jesus to cast out, and pray for that strength, the courage, and the grace to let those things go.
Mm-hmm.
And to see, as you were saying, Josh, to allow yourself to have a mini death, so that you could have a greater resurrection moment.
Amen.
Amen. That is such a powerful takeaway. Father Adam Blatt, thank you again for rocking our worlds. And be sure to visit him at Christ Our King and Savior up in Greensboro, Georgia.
You're always welcome. I tell people, if you ever get lost in the woods, that's where I'm at.
The beautiful, beautiful part of the woods out there.
Yes, it is gorgeous.
News heading your way from the Good News Network. A Swiss man has regained the use of his hands. Check this out. 17 years after losing them to a deadly infection. This is so inspiring. Now 29, Luca Krishnats underwent a rare double hand transplant at Penn Medicine in Philadelphia. It's a procedure that's actually so complex, only a few have ever had it. So he was only 12 years old. He was misdiagnosed with strep throat, and it cost him both his hands
and legs. But years after waiting and rehab, he can now hold a phone, type, and even feel hot and cold again. Man, think about how many things we take for granted, right? The doctors say it's a lifelong commitment with rehab and risks, but also a triumph of science and the human spirit.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Remember our memory verse, everybody. Matthew 5:16. Your light must shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. Closing us out, Jane Robbins, host of Legislation Makes Made Simple, heard on AM 1160 The Quest, unpacks some recent decisions that have the church cheering. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Barbara.
AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the saint.
It's 8:36.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. 4th of July weekend right around the corner.
Yes.
Falls on a Friday this year, this Friday, in fact. Any plans?
Well, I will be helping celebrate my mom and dad's 55th wedding anniversary, which falls on 4th of July. So
double nickels.
I know. It's
a beautiful. That's a good run.
It is a very good run.
And, you know, as they say, the next 55 years should be a walk in the park, right?
Amen, amen.
Well, that's fantastic that you had a chance to do that. You know, my folks were married on Halloween.
Oh.
So we'll have to look around if there's another staff member here. Maybe someone was married on Christmas or Groundhog Day or something. We can cover all the holidays.
That would be marvelous.
But, you know, with 4th of July right around the corner, I thought we might discuss the patron saint of fireworks.
Oh.
You a fireworks lover, Allison? I know some people are very
I know I do.
Them,
yeah. I do enjoy it. Do I like waiting to see them? Usually we'll go to different places where there's people everywhere. Don't like the traffic, but I do like watching them.
Yeah. Did you ever dabble in fireworks as a kid? Were you prone to fire off an occasional bottle rocket or anything
like
that?
No. All we did were the sparklers.
The sparklers, yeah.
And those little, you know, those little snakes that you like light it. And
oh, absolutely. The snakes.
Yes, the snakes.
I like smoke bombs, too.
So, yeah,
they were
fun
because sometimes you'd buy them down the Jersey Shore and you would get ones that gave off different colored smoke.
Ooh.
Like green smoke. That was my favorite, the green smoke. I don't know
why.
Maybe I felt like I was the Joker or something.
I know. Like, oh my goodness.
But there is a patron saint of fireworks and fireworks manufacturers, and the Roman martyrology does commemorate her. That is Saint Barbara, a virgin and martyr who died at Nicomedia around the year 235. Her feast day, which is December 4th, was removed from the liturgical calendar. She's still a saint, though. Let me make that crystal clear. But due to an inability on the part of hagiographers to find an accurate historical basis for the precise reasons for her veneration, there are some stories around her, which we're going to talk about. She's no longer listed on the general Roman calendar. St. Barbara was born in the early part of the 3rd century in Nicomedia, as mentioned, which is now modern-day Turkey.
Oh, wow.
And according to tradition, after the death of her mother, she was raised by her wealthy, albeit a very tyrannical pagan father who, because of her beauty and her intelligence, guarded her very, very closely, very defensive father, keeping her locked away in a tower to protect her from the outside world and from suitors. So very, very, very sheltered life in the early years. She was educated solely by tutors in light of the fact that she was essentially sequestered, and in time came to reject the false god she was taught to worship in favor of the true god for whom she yearned and wished to discover. She would in turn dedicate her life and her virginity to this purpose. So here, once again, we see with the saints, the truth is written on their hearts.
Absolutely.
The truth is written on all of our hearts, but in true response to it, to this calling, she developed a prayer life and resisted her father's attempts to have her marry. And of course, she did have many suitors. Her father came to believe that Barbara was negatively affected by the seclusion. Uh-huh. So he does an about face and decides to grant her more freedom to associate with the secular world.
And that was great because she soon discovered Christianity and was secretly baptized.
Yeah.
After informing her father that she was a Christian, he denounced her to the authorities under the persecution of Roman Emperor Maximian.
Yeah.
She was imprisoned and cruelly tortured, but remained steadfast in her faith. During the night, she would pray fervently, and her wounds would miraculously heal. This only subjected her to greater torments, followed by more miraculous interventions.
Yes, so this cycle would continue.
Yeah.
It's like shades of Peter in the jail, or Paul.
Yeah.
You know, these miraculous things happen when they're imprisoned.
Oh, my goodness.
But she was finally beheaded by her own father, and it's just hard to even imagine that.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he was struck by lightning.
Wow.
In the aftermath of beheading his own daughter. Mm. And that led to his death. You know, as I was researching St. Barbara, a saint that's been in my pipeline for a long time, I must say I've been wanting to learn more about her. So I was glad we had the opportunity to do just that and share what we've learned with our listeners. But I couldn't help but think about how we come across this in RCIA sometimes. As an RCIA sponsor, I've been up at St. Michael now for a number of years. And we come across people who are coming to the church whose parents are perhaps on the verge of disowning them as a result.
Yeah.
But to a man, to a woman, they always forge ahead. And I'm just really inspired by them.
Yes.
They are what we would call the white martyrs in our midst today. And just we need to be emboldened by them because they give the climate of our world today. You know, white martyrdom is going to become more and more prevalent, more and more important.
Yes, no, absolutely. She is the patron saint of fireworks manufacturers, firemen, armorers, artillerymen, military engineers, miners, and others who work with explosives.
Yeah, it covers a wide swath.
It sure does. She is also the patron saint against storms, lightning, and fire. And her feast day, like you said, is on December the 4th.
Yeah, almost always falling during the Advent season, although that day now belongs to St. John Damascene, if memory serves. And I have a few of these feast days memorized because he happens to be a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
So he does own the day on December 4th. But that's not to say that we couldn't seek her intercession, particularly on the 4th, as said on these segments before. I believe that the intersection day rolls around. Maybe we'll have to remind our viewers December 4th is not that long away. Far away. I mean,
no,
it comes around quickly. But of course, we can call upon the saints at any time. And I know that I've heard about St. Barbara through friends.
Mm-hmm.
There was a friend of mine whose mother's name was Barbara, and he had mentioned what a great inspiration she was to their family.
Oh.
So that's why I said this has kind of been in the pipeline for me for a while to research her. And again, one of the great virgin martyrs of our church. We recognize a number of them. There's seven of them that come to mind that are recognized in Eucharistic prayer. Number one, we've got St. Anastasia, St. Agnes, St. Agatha, Cecilia, Perpetua Felicity, Lucy. Did I leave any out? I think that's all seven. But and of course, there are many others, St. Philomena, others who are not necessarily mentioned by name. But they're again, the blood of the martyrs.
Seed of the church. You know what, Chuck, with St. Barbara here, 4th of July is right upon us. And many people out there, amateurs, might be trying to shoot off fireworks.
Yeah.
So what a great saint to call on her in a session.
Yeah, for safety. It's just part of American culture at this point. You know, down here in the South, they're not really legal in the Northeast where I grew up. But I'm always amazed. I drive by these fireworks stores and I wonder how they make a living throughout the year. Because I don't necessarily hear fireworks going off all the time.
I think the same thing.
You know,
I think the same thing.
Yeah, that is just, and we should probably send a call out to our listeners. Please be careful out there. So with that in mind, St. Barbara,
pray for us.
Coming up on the Morning Quest.
Remember that memory verse, Matthew 5:16. Your light must shine before others that they may see the good works and glorify your heavenly Father. Closing us out, Jane Robbins, co-host of Legislation Made Simple here on The Quest, unpacks some recent decisions that have the church cheering.